This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The Royals won last night. The Twins lost.
On an error, we watched it. Oh!
Yeah, the Royals didn't exactly win. The other team just lost.
We'll take it.
You know, a W is a W.
It is a W, and I'm you know, quite
frankly,
it took
them 10 innings, almost 11.
We need to learn how to hit that round leather-covered cork thing with the wooden thing.
I got you.
Because we don't do that very well.
The Royals are now 2 games up in the wild card hunt over the Twins with 5 games left in the season. It's getting exciting. Well, I'm starting to sweat.
I wanted to go home last night and not think about work things, and so I thought, let's watch a cartoon, and I, Despicable Me with Steve Carell is one of my favorite. I will laugh. Oh, my God.
Fantastic movie.
It's so funny. His Dr. Evil, like, weird accent just makes me laugh so hard. And so I'm laughing, and then my phone goes, bzzz. Royals are in a, you know, very nail-biting tie going into the 10th, and I looked at my phone, and I'm like, nail biting, it's 0-0.
Oh, that's nail biting.
So I stopped, clicked on the Royals game.
Do you have Bally's?
Yeah, it comes with Spectrum.
No farting.
Yeah, no whining, no farting, and no loud noises. Have you not seen this movie? Oh my God. He basically kidnaps 3 foster children.
I don't like animation.
I'm going to change your entire outlook on life, because if you are in a bad mood and you sit down and watch Steve, and it's Kristen Wiig, by the way, that plays the adoption lady, the evil adoption lady, Scott, you will laugh yourself sick at some of the lines in that movie.
Is this the one where they got the long pointy noses?
Yes.
Oh no.
And the little minions.
Do you not like animation because it's not realistic?
Like Star Wars.
I'm not going to bite on this bait.
I know.
Do you know that there are not other civilizations out there?
Do you know that there aren't pointy men out there that want to take over the world?
Not that people draw
evil.
No, and I take that back. I do like some animation. Like I thought, Ice Age was very funny.
Oh, it's so funny.
I love all the Toy Stories, but. Like Despicable Me, and what was the one where there's a vampire in it?
I didn't watch Transylvania.
Transylvania.
I think maybe you're not watching the correct one.
Well, I went with my kids when they were younger, and like something in a some cloud movie.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
Yes.
How do you not find those entertaining?
For me, that was a 2-hour nap with my kid. I just don't get it. I don't like it.
Ooh, Madagascar from the text line will change your mind, Scott.
Hilarious.
Okay. That's why.
I like to move it.
Like when you bought me Up for Christmas one year.
Oh, God, it's so good.
That's why I didn't watch it, because it was animation. And I know everybody says these movies are great.
Let's movie shame him right now.
I know. I'm going to make a list at some point. We're just going to start banging them out. I'm telling you. Are going to love some of those Pixar movies.
All right. Hurricane Helene passed by Cancun overnight.
What the heck, Helene?
So it was a tropical storm. You know, I'm going to Cancun on Sunday.
Yeah.
No major damage in Cancun, thank God.
Going to be some coconuts down.
Maybe. But headed toward Tallahassee, Florida, where it's expected to be a Category 3 hurricane. They were saying on the news this morning, It will be the strongest hurricane to hit Tallahassee in recorded history.
I believe they've upgraded that to the potential for a Category 4.
Really?
Yes. But that, you know, that doesn't mean anything.
Isn't
it could change and drop to a Category 1. Who knows?
Isn't that crazy? This storm formed in the Caribbean. Normally, they form over the Atlantic Ocean between Africa and North or South America. This one formed in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Because apparently the water, I can't wait to find out on Sunday, the water in the Caribbean is like bath water.
It's like hot tub warm.
It's really, really warm right now.
85 degrees, the water is.
Hmm.
So I'm super excited about that. Did I just see Encyclopedia?
Oh, here he comes. Here, well, you know, it's the jet stream.
Well, you know, the they call it bath water because it feels like water that you would get into in a bath.
As it rotates counterclockwise, it pulls the heat up from the south.
And then it's superheated by the sun during the day. And then the moon at night pulls the tide up closer to the shore.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, how we doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just, you know, setting things up in here.
Okay.
14-time hurricane survivor Dan Weinbaum joining us in studio.
Yeah, it's 13 or 14, something like that. I
mean, well, yesterday it was a solid 14. What happened?
Well, I got to figure out.
He figured out one was a tropical storm, didn't count, took it off
the list. See, that's the thing. There were tropical storms, hurricanes that I was in, and then hurricanes that I showed up after, you know.
What do we know about Helene?
We know that she's going to be a strong, fast-moving hurricane.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Yeah.
Thanks for chiming in, buddy.
Well, you know, it is interesting.
Aren't all hurricanes kind of fast-moving?
No, not really. Some of them move slowly. Now, you've got the rotating winds, which, you know, the category 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. Then you have the forward progression, the speed of the storm.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
This one's going to be moving fast because it's down by Cancun. You know where that is.
Yeah, we do. Yep.
And sure then it's supposed to be on the banks of the Florida Panhandle by tomorrow evening.
They call that the Big Bend.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Big Bend.
Appalachie Bay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Appalachicola.
I have a couple of animal stories I would like to talk about before your departure, Scott.
It's going
to
move fast.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
Am I departing soon?
Did you see that? And we're going to put this on social because you have to see the video. I don't know if it was Johnson or Jackson County Animal Control. It's one of the animal controls. A coyote the size of a very large German Shepherd, bit bigger, got stuck in a fence overnight. And was
here in town?
Yes. And was dangling from a leg, like a back hind leg in a farmer's fence. So,
and just screaming,
yes,
I bet.
Screaming. And not all heroes wear capes, as we know from yesterday. So the animal control guy comes out with this long pole, because you know you don't want to get too close to it.
Mm-mm.
And somehow ropes the rope around the coyote's head. But with enough distance between him and the coyote.
He lassoed the coyote.
Yes, lassoed him so that the animal control officer can't be bitten and killed. Huh? Then he takes snips, 10 snips, and you can hear him click, 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 trying to slowly
Free
the animal from the fence. Then it's dangling by one leg. And so, I mean, it's very, like, it's kind of jarring to see, I'm not going to lie. But finally, that thing gets free. And then it turns on this animal control, like, you know,
like a taxi.
Yeah, like, well, you like to think animals understand that you're trying to help them, but sometimes wild animals don't. And this coyote, like, instead of saying thank you, like, you can tell wants to kill the guy.
It was trying to get at the noose around its neck.
It was, and so, but it's a happy ending. They took the coyote. Does have a torn ligament in its back leg or something, and they took it to a vet or Casey Pet Project. I don't know, but there is a photo of this animal. Now in captivity, you know, with the cone of shame before they re-release it into the wild. It is one of the funniest photos. The look on that dog's face is like, really?
Do you think you could domesticate a coyote if you get it as a puppy?
I think people have tried. It's not something
they just
would
naturally
try.
Wild animals that cannot like,
here's,
be
well, here's one of the here's dogs. One of the action shots just so you understand the size of this thing.
Yeah, it's a big one.
It's angry
But all dogs are natural wild animals, and so if you don't raise them to live in a home, like if they were born in a litter on the street, they're going to be a wild animal.
Feral puppies are still not as feral as like a coyote would be. Well,
feral cats are.
Can be.
I mean, you can't tame a feral cat. They're crazy.
You've heard of people like finding a baby coyote or something. They think it's a German Shepherd. Well, I'm just going to raise it. And then, you know, all of a sudden their toddler is missing a few fingers.
Or the people that find a kitten and take it in and it's a lion.
What?
Oh, yeah. There's been those stories where they thought it was a kitten and it was like a bobcat or something ridiculous.
Huh. Did I tell you I'm getting a cat?
What?
Yep. My daughter Sarah is a 23-year-old cat lady already. She's got two cats. And her boyfriend, Dawson, great kid, I love him. He used to work construction, and he found this emaciated, I don't know if it was a feral cat. I don't think it was. But anyway.
I hope not.
The cat was missing its tail, so they've named her Bobby, as in Bobcat. And when.
Have you ever had a cat that's not missing some part of its anatomy?
No. No, well, a major wasn't missing anything. He was a full cat.
Okay.
He was a full cat.
You had a three-legged Arsenio.
Well, Arsenio had cancer.
Well, I'm sorry. It was three-legged. I'm just saying.
And I didn't name that cat Arsenio. That was on Shonda. Do you know why she named him Arsenio?
Was it a black cat?
Because he was black.
Oh, God.
It wasn't because he was
because the cat was black. And I'm like, that is... borderline
feline racist. You feline racist.
Are the wild animals taking over again, though? Because I was driving home from the sporting game the other night.
I haven't told my story yet. Oh, so anyway, okay. I was taking care of Sarah's house while they were on vacation, and Bobby, who had to stay in the other room because Bobby doesn't get along with her other cats, is super sweet, and I fell in love with her, and they're trying to find a new home for her, and I said, I think I might be willing to take Bobby. Bobby is deaf. And has no tail.
We're taking in a special needs cat.
Yes, we are, Sam.
Okay.
And Bobby, when you're near her, will go, wow.
So you are going to be its comfort animal.
Yeah. So we're taking in Bobby when we get back from Cancun.
Good for you.
Going over to Sarah's house for dinner tonight to see Bobby.
Good for you.
My future cat.
All right. When we get back, there are two stories in the stack involving lawnmowers. One involving Dana and one not involving Dana. There is actually a local woman suing a lawn equipment place and operator, accusing them of running over her son.
Like a landscaper company?
It's a larger mower.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that coming up. There was a mishap involving Dana and a lawnmower before I came into work today. I've been in a bad mood ever since.
Do we still have all of our extremities?
I do have all of my extremities, yeah. Good. Although I went to college with a girl who was mowing with a push mower in flip-flops.
Bad idea.
She slipped on the grass. Her foot went under the push mower. And
I thought that was an old wives' tale.
No, she came to KU, much like Scott's cat, down one leg.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
All right, Sam, you're going to have to help us out with this one. My God, how does this happen? An Olathe woman is suing a Kansas City railroad contractor after an employee driving a piece of lawn care equipment allegedly ran over her son last year, killing him. I don't know that we need the allegedly here. 76-year-old Linda Bowers has filed a lawsuit in Jackson County. The suit states that a person affiliated with this company was negligently operating commercial lawn equipment when they somehow fatally collided with her 49-year-old son, Stephen. It's a Kansas City, Kansas-based company devoted mainly to loading and unloading railroad cars and other forms of large-scale transportation. But I think that company was contracting out with a lawn care company to either mow or remove brush when this happened.
Was Steven in front of it, or behind
it? It doesn't say, but the name of the equipment, Sam, we had not heard of this. It happened near East 2nd Street and North Lydia when a person affiliated with that company hit him while driving something called a road hog or similar piece of lawn care equipment.
So essentially a brush hog. It's just a giant mower attachment that goes behind a tractor. It's not your typical mower.
Oh, so what they use to clean out the, or to mow the grass between Shawnee Mission Parkway out
correct.
West.
Or like if you see the guys mowing the side of the highway, they've got a gigantic yeah. tractor with a 12, 15 foot wide attachment on the back of it.
And it just mows over anything.
Yeah, so there's okay. typically 3 to 5 mower blades under there,
but
and it will cut anything
up. If you are the operator of a commercial mower of any kind, how do you not see that there is a human being? Now, I get it, it's loud. And a lot of those guys wear ear protection because of the noise.
Sure.
How do you not see the human being? It's not like you can be on your cell phone and operating a mower like that.
No, you could not.
Was he asleep in the grass?
Okay.
I can't imagine a scenario where they would hit this guy while he was standing.
Well,
those things don't reverse while mowing, do they?
I was just going to say, I've never seen one go in reverse.
I don't think they would be backing up and mowing. No, that would, first of all, put the equipment in danger of being damaged severely if you hit something, and then you hit a human and they would die.
Oh,
in this scenario, again, I think the only logical explanation here would be that the victim was laying down.
Which is not their fault, then.
What?
Not the mower's fault?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, they just wouldn't have seen him because the reason they're out there is because the grass is so tall that it's now causing a problem.
Usually 2 to 3 feet high.
Yeah.
And they'll mow over anything. I mean, litter, it doesn't matter.
Heck, you could hit a stump.
Yeah. It's not like they go out there and pick up before they mow. They just start mowing. I wish this lawsuit had more details about how Steven ended up, presumably, in front of this road hog.
And it's down in the industrial rail district, right?
It said 2nd and Lydia.
Okay.
I don't know where that is. Obviously, it's, I presume, in old Northeast Kansas City.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
I don't know.
We're just speculating.
We're going to keep our eye on this story, and here's why. It's possible her son also worked for this company, Scott. We just don't know.
We don't know.
I just don't understand under what scenario this could happen, but we've seen other stories where children run out in front of a mower. I mean,
well,
God
forbid.
This
isn't a kid. This is a 49-year-old man.
I know.
This is a 49-year-old man.
I have a feeling he was either somehow affiliated with the company or I don't know.
Or to Sam's point, was laying in the grass. What happened with you and a lawnmower?
Oh, I'll tell you that story later. It's just, it's been a day.
So the area of 2nd and Lydia would be just south of the Berkeley Riverfront. Obviously, there's 8 rail lines that go through there.
Mm-hmm.
The phones are ringing.
I'll take them.
Yeah, I'm curious just because we had never heard of this type of mower, and we looked it up. And when Scott showed it to me during the break, I'm like, "Wait a minute, how does this happen?"
I have no explanation that makes any sense. The only thing I can think of is Sam's point. He may have been sleeping in the grass. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's
it. He works for the company and was standing in front of it for some reason, and there was a malfunction with the driver who hit the gas instead of the brake. I have no idea. 913-586-7798, 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott, here on KMBZ.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Dave in Liberty. Dave, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Dana.
Hi.
Hey, I was just telling Sam I have just pulled off out of work, got up on 29 heading south, and they had brush hog on the entire area. So if you can imagine when you're running a brush hog and you're on a really steep hill, that you're going to be focused probably on to one side to make sure that you don't get in a position.
Yes.
Where, I doubt it. These guys have driven this stuff long enough that you're not going to tip over.
Hmm.
And you can even see right by the bridge that they'll get right next to a bridge and come down that side.
Like sideways.
And that stuff out.
But they, yes. But what I'm, Dave, help me here. I'm picturing the really large mower with the big blades on the bottom, but then they are driving sideways on a side hill. And I can understand what you're saying. Like, they're focused down to the left to make sure they're not going to tip. And if there was somebody standing upright to the right, you maybe wouldn't see that individual, I guess.
Or they could be looking to the right toward the highway and not see anything down to their left.
Yeah.
Okay. If you get close enough to the bridge, I mean, they mow pretty close right to a bridge. And I would really be wondering if you Googled that area, if there's not an overpass right there where the gentleman
may have been. For whatever reason.
No, wait a minute. Hang on for a second. Do we know that Stephen was run over?
Yes.
Or
multiple blunt. I wasn't going to get into that, but yes.
Okay, so it's not possible that he was the driver and it tipped over.
No.
Yeah, it's described that he sustained multiple blunt and, quote, sharp force
catastrophic injuries.
Okay, so he was run over. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sarah in Lenexa. Sarah, hello.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Yes. So this happened several years ago, but there was a mower. The man was standing on the back of the lawnmower machine, and he was coming into oncoming traffic driving on the street, and he was going down a hill, and he was taking the blower to blow the grass back into the median. And as the car came up the hill, just ran over him. Didn't see him.
I'm telling you, we get used to, Sarah, seeing the mowers on the sides of the highways. They're there. You get used to seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that the caller before her described it, you can see a collision of that nature happening. I just don't understand how it happens with a pedestrian.
913-586-7798. Ashley in North Kansas City. Hello.
Hey, guys. I have been driving in this town for 13 and a half years. I am often down in that area very early in the morning. There is a very large homeless population in that area. I'm down there a lot of times as early as 5:30 in the morning. I have seen homeless people sleeping on Gwinnett, on the street.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the circumstance that's happened
here. And in fairness, Ashley, let me interrupt. We do not know that Stephen was homeless or not.
No, I don't know this man from Adam. But I am saying that I personally have seen people sleeping down there. I've seen people sleeping next to the railroad tracks. I've seen people sleeping 3rd Street where it curves around to come down to Gwinnett. I've seen people sleeping there on a little bridge. There is a very large homeless population in that area. So that's also a possibility because grass is a lot softer than concrete.
Yeah, you're right.
Just my thought on it. Bye, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Thank you. Go ahead, Sam.
I was also thinking of something, and the idea that, based on the description of his injuries, typically in that situation, if you were to be hit in the ankles by a flat deck mower, the momentum of your body would take you onto the top of the mower.
And the injuries that are described,
he went underneath.
Could suggest he was underneath
the mower.
You're right. Again, we don't know how, but you're right. You're right.
Wayne in KCK. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this is the same individual, but there was a man killed last year down there off 2nd and Lydia. He wasn't on the road. They were mowing the brush back from the railroad tracks. The company was hired to, and used the railroad company's equipment, but the man was in the brush behind the tracks.
Oh. When was this?
Same individual, but a man was killed there last year. He was homeless, and he was sleeping behind the brush. And when it came by, he stood up.
Well, I'll tell you, this is said to have happened in 2023.
Oh.
Yes. Lawsuit has just now been filed, but this is said to have happened in 2023.
July 19th.
Let me ask you this. If, in fact, this is on or adjacent to railroad property, and this is what happened, for whatever reason, someone is laying down, for whatever reason, is that negligence on the part of a lawn equipment operator? If that brush is as high as they say it is, and you don't have some line of sight to see that there is someone below.
How is that negligence on my part? I don't anticipate, nor do I think it's reasonable to anticipate that somebody is sleeping in the grass.
Let's say laying in the grass for whatever reason.
Is there a requirement to go and check the area that you're about to mow?
I mean, exactly if you're telling that. No, Sam, that's exactly where I was going with this, and here's why. I remember when you've all mowed. My dad would say, before you go out and mow, you go inspect the yard. You make sure there's not any metal, that you pick up the hedge apples. You know, you just do, you know, so whatever, for your safety.
I've never been told to inspect the yard.
My grandpa and dad always told me that, but I don't know that that's a reasonable request.
I don't think
for people mowing on the side of a highway.
Yeah, that, I mean, you went and checked the yard because you didn't want to launch a rock through the front window.
Right.
If there were a guy that were mowing, you know, 500, obviously that's an exaggeration, 50 miles of highway in a day, he can't walk the entire way
Nor should he be expected to.
He's just going to hop in the brush hog, turn that thing on, you know, speed number two, and we'll see you in 4 hours,
well,
John.
Because everything that they cut goes out the back. It doesn't go flying out the side. So if you're in the middle of, you know, say Shawnee Mission Parkway out west, where they have a lot of grass between the eastbound and westbound lanes, you can't be I don't even think it's reasonable to expect that somebody's going to walk that entire path before they mow, you know, 10 miles worth of grass between the two sides of the road.
Play the role of the opposite side in this lawsuit. Based on the information we've all heard, if in fact it is, quote, well known that this is an area where people rest for whatever reason, is it then more likely to be anticipated than?
No, because you have a personal responsibility not to sleep in the grass.
Oh, there it is.
Now
the phones are going to ring.
There's a strong assumption that this was railroad property because the railroad contracted with the mowing company, right?
Well, of course it's railroad property.
It's not the railroad's fault.
Well, that would be trespassing.
Truth.
Oh, man, you guys, come on.
No, Dana, there has to be a certain level of personal responsibility. You do not have the right to just sleep on private property.
Let me give you a really sad but great analogy. Man in all black clothing who has been drinking decides one night to start walking down the middle of Ward Parkway at night. Mm-hmm. Car comes around the corner and strikes and kills that man. You would have hit that man. I would have hit that man. Sam would have hit that man. Yeah. You could not see him. He is wearing dark clothing, walking in the middle of Ward Parkway.
That's on him.
The driver that struck and killed him was still charged in that case. He had been drinking too.
Well, there's the charge.
But go back to reasonable personal responsibility. Anyone would have hit that man walking in the middle of Ward Parkway in dark clothing in the middle of the night.
But the person who hit him had been drinking, therefore should have never been on the road in the first place.
So had the pedestrian.
I understand. But the argument would be, what if nobody was driving down that road for the next 2 or 3 minutes and he came to his drunken senses and got on the sidewalk? He would have still been alive. But the very fact that this guy who was drinking and driving hit him makes him liable for that crime.
I mean, what if there's a farm next to a highway and somebody wanders into one of the fields right before harvest time? Is that farmer expected to go out and check every single inch of that before he hops in the combine?
If you look this up, honestly, if in fact this is what happened,
and we don't know.
This is not the first time this has happened. If you look up mower death, homeless man,
we don't know,
but one of the first ones that popped up was in Oregon. Where the exact same scenario, Scott, where they are out there mowing, and unbeknownst to the operator of that mower, there is someone in the brush.
Last word goes to Alex in Iowa. Alex, hello.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
So, Dana, I want to go with what you were saying about you check the yard before you mow.
Yeah.
We do that because, and your dad was right, we do that because we don't want to, we've got small equipment. You don't want to ruin the blades because then you're going to have to sharpen them and all that stuff and launch rocks. This equipment will cut through almost anything besides large, you know, stumps and stuff.
Yeah.
So they don't feel the need to check it because you know, a 1-inch tree sapling, it'll cut through that and you'll just mow it all down and everything. So you had a great idea. And yeah, I just wanted to go with that. And, you know, it's just sucks that it happened.
All right, Alex, do appreciate the call, man. Thank you very much. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. When we get back, the school photographer fired for comments she made to some elementary students right before taking their pictures. What were those comments?
Was one of them, have you ever seen a comb?
No.
No, they were much weirder than that.
Much weirder.
Okay.
We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. Let's go to Virginia for just a moment. Story here from Fox News. A Virginia elementary school photographer reportedly lost her job after being accused of making improper remarks to the young students, including allegedly asking one boy before she took his picture, "Can I eat your soul?"
Huh?
I'm sorry.
Can
Say
I
cheese.
Eat your soul?
Can I eat Smile. Your soul?
The principal of Chittum Elementary School in Chesapeake said in an email to parents last week that a photographer hired to take school pictures was escorted off of campus for making inappropriate comments to students. The photographer, who was not named, was employed by Life Touch, a family and school photography service.
Stop right there. There is a monopoly on a couple of things in the world, diamonds and Life Touch. There is no other company that does photos for – it's always – Life Touch.
Well, and she's not going to be doing them for Life Touch anymore.
In an interview, parent Rachel Field said that her son was sitting to have his school picture taken when the photographer allegedly asked him, "Can I steal your identity? Can I eat your soul?"
Maybe she was trying to get them to laugh.
Now, I've had some seriously inappropriate things said to me in my life, especially when, obviously, when I was younger, where they were like, "Oh, you're so cute. Can I just eat you up?" or something like that. Is this like an example of taking that a step too far?
So she asked him, "Can I steal your identity?" The young boy, elementary school aged, said no. She then said, "Can I eat your soul?" He became very upset and said, "No, no." Her next question was, "Well, then, what can I eat?"
Oh, my God. All right. There is an entire Reddit thread on photographers who have taken school photos. Here are some of the highlights of things they have encountered with children over the years. While pushing a kid's bangs out of his face, the teacher came over and whispered in my ear, "You may not want to do that. He has lice."
Don't scratch your head.
While taking a yearbook photo, this is a teacher, The photographer took the first picture and said, okay, now let's not try doing the creepy serial killer look. Guy at my school had a reverse mohawk, which is where you just shave a line down the middle of your hair. The photographer actually asked him, do you want to wear a hat?
Ouch.
Followed by this one. I asked a kid once, please look at the camera like three times. And then I realized he had a lazy eye. Damn.
By the way, there is a term for the using weird terms to say, oh, you're so cute. Can I eat your soul? It's called cute aggression.
Oh.
Why would you ask an elementary aged kid if you could eat their soul?
And maybe she said it in like a, oh my God, you're so cute. Can I eat your soul?
Even then, Sam, it's still not right.
I agree with you, but I don't know. I'm just trying to put some logic behind these comments.
There is
otherwise
no logic.
They make no sense.
The greatest photo story that I cannot completely tell with my children resulted in the greatest photo I have of the four children. There are photographers who will say, there are a couple of different buzzwords you try to get the kids to say to get them to smile. Mm-hmm. And one of them on the Reddit thread is say fuzzy pickles. You know, so you're going pickles, so you're smiling.
Pickles.
Yes.
That one doesn't make me smile.
Right. For elementary school kids, you know. So
I hate pickles.
All of the children are on a diving board seated in their swim and dive gear. All four of them. It was the last year I was going to have all four of them. And come hell or high water, I was getting that photo of them on that diving board. And I'm standing there. Just please smile. Just please smile. Just the last one we have to do is please smile. And all day the photographer was saying this. Say Jimmy. But it wasn't Jimmy. It was just something to get your mouth to go, And right,
Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy, right before that photo was taken, like 10 billionths of a second, Jack, under his breath, but loud enough for everyone to hear, says another word that was not that word.
Is it a word you can say on the radio?
It is not.
Okay.
The end result of that photo, two of the children are looking at him like, oh my God. And then the third kid, Scott, her head is completely back. She is about to crap herself laughing. She is laughing
so
hard.
So it came
hard.
Out good.
It is my favorite photo of all time.
Good. Is it a slang term for things you might find on the front of a full-grown woman?
Yes!
Okay. God, I'm good.
A mature woman.
Mature.
A mature. A mature woman.
The photo's back in the office. You've seen it.
That's oh, I have seen
why
that one,
yeah. She is laughing.
Oh, okay.
And I go, Jack!
Does it start with a T?
Yes, it does!
Okay. Does it end with an S?
Greatest pick I have of the kids. I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite photos of all time.
Scott hates Pixar and pickles. I bet he's a hoot at parties. I am. You know, there was a year, I think it was my brother's 6th or 7th grade year, where my mom did not buy the school photograph.
They're always so bad. Let's be honest. They're always bad.
This was at the height of the mullet era, and my brother and I both would have, if we wouldn't blow dry our hair in the morning during the mullet era, we would have curly hair. And my brother, like, teased his hair up real big, like 6th or 7th grade.
Oh, I'm sure St. Margaret
and
loved that.
It was, his hair looked like a rat's nest. And I remember when he brought back the proofs or whatever they're called.
We're going to get some of those in 5x7, 8x10. I don't have a lot of time.
There's only one of those pictures that exists, and it's the one my brother brought home, and my mother said, I'm not buying those.
Was it stamped with proof over the,
no.
the face of it?
No. Dan's got the news.
Watermark.
In 2 minutes. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name's Scott here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.